the Public News Service DOAA newscast for June the 10th, 2025. I'm Mike Clifford. First to L.A., where California has filed a lawsuit against the Trump administration, asking a judge to declare the call-up of National Guard troops in response to street protests in Los Angeles unconstitutional, and for the court to halt any future deployments. That from CNN. At the same time, they report the U.S. Northern Command announced it activated about 700 Marines to help protect federal personnel and property in the L.A. area. It will join 300 National Guard troops so far on the ground. From the scene, CNN reports chanting National Guard out of L.A. Protesters gathered Monday outside the Metropolitan Detention Center in Los Angeles, which was ringed by law enforcement officers in riot gear. At least 50 people were arrested during weekend demonstrations, according to the LAPD. And after the Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, cut AmeriCorps funding earlier this year, a federal judge last week granted a temporary block to states that filed a lawsuit against the move. Montana is not on the list.
AmeriCorps is a national service program that's been running for 3 decades. In the year before the cuts, about 2,800 members, called VISTAs, served at 300 Montana host sites, including food banks, schools, youth centers, and more. When Rochelle Hesford became executive director of Southwest Montana Youth Partners, she relied on AmeriCorps service in the group's 5-year plan. But its VISTA member was on board for less than 4 months before funding was cut.
We're in kind of that early critical stage where we really need to get that public support and get our name out there and build capacity for the organization. We're losing a year's worth of work, I would say.
24 states plus Washington, D.C. filed a lawsuit against the Trump administration, arguing that it did not provide sufficient notice or comment period according to law. But because Montana wasn't a plaintiff, its AmeriCorps funding remains cut. I'm Kathleen Shannon.
Montana's population is one of the least dense in the country, but it has the most nonprofits per capita, nearly 10 per every 1,000 residents, according to the Tax Foundation. And Indiana now ranks 25th in the nation for child well-being, up from 27th last year in a new report we've been tracking state by state. Details from our Joe Ulori.
The Indiana Youth Institute leads the report for Indiana. It tracks child outcomes in 4 areas: economic well-being, education, health, and family and community. Chambi Silverman, president and CEO of Indiana Youth Institute, says the progress reflects smart investments.
Indiana rose to 11th nationally in both the economic well-being and education areas. So those are actually the highest ranking in those areas in over a decade.
Youth health improved slightly. Fewer kids are overweight and more have health insurance. But Indiana saw more low birth weight babies and more child and teen deaths.
This is Public News Service. As Michigan pursues climate goals, landfills remain a hidden but powerful source of emissions, but one county leader is working to fix that. We get the details in this Planet Detroit MIT Climate Change Engagement Program Public News Service collaboration.
Every day, about 800 garbage trucks roll into the South Kent landfill just outside Grand Rapids, dumping everything from old sofas to food waste. The landfill is now nearly full. As head of the county's Department of Public Works, Darwin Boss is trying to reduce how much waste ends up in these landfills. Over the past decade, he has led waste reduction efforts, including capturing methane from the landfill and keeping Michigan's only waste-to-energy incinerator running.
The South Kent landfill's a voluntary program. We installed, in partnership with a private company, the ability to generate electricity. So whether you're generating RNG, renewable natural gas, or electricity, or just flaring it off.
Boss is also planning a business park, which would turn food and yard waste into useful products. Crystal Blair reporting.
Next, the New Mexico Coalition is stressing an urgent need for the state to adopt the strongest possible heat risk standards for indoor and outdoor workers.
New Mexico is the 6th fastest warming state in the nation, according to the Union of Concerned Scientists, fueled by climate change that makes heat waves more common. Green Latinos community advocate Carlos Matutas says 80% of those working in agriculture are Latino, as are 64% of those working in the building trades. He notes Latino workers also are overrepresented in oil and gas production and need to be protected.
Depriving them of paid rest periods, of shade, of water during the summer months is unconscionable. And we're trying to make sure that New Mexico Environment Department establishes these rules as quickly as possible.
I'm Roz Brown.
Finally, Governor Ferguson signed Washington's first rent stabilization law, and renters and advocates who fought for the bill are breathing sighs of relief.
The new law caps the amount that landlords can raise yearly rents at 7% plus inflation, or 10%, whichever is less. For manufactured homes, increases are limited to 5%. The move comes after years of advocacy by renters like Carolyn Hardy, a retiree in Aberdeen whose manufactured home community faced up to 50% yearly increases under new corporate ownership. She says her community is mostly seniors living on fixed incomes, and the increases had become untenable.
It was getting to the point where people were skipping meals and they were not able to afford prescriptions. I couldn't afford my diabetic medicine. It was getting scary. We're getting mad.
Landlords associations and real estate agencies fought hard against the bill, saying it would impede development. I'm Isabel Charlet.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.